I haven't worked all week long, so I've had the entire week to do nothing but work on sermon prep. I am, my personality, I'm better off to have more work than I can do and try to cram it all in than to have a lot of time to do this stuff because I don't seem to get around to it any better or anything. So that's kind of where I'm at. I was talking with Don earlier and told him, last week the sermon I preached was 8 pages long, and today it's 11 pages. And yeah, so I said, I've got a trick, though, and I'll show it to you. I've been working on my notebook. I'm never really organized and doing all this stuff, but I've been working on the notebook. Now I have, see where it's in the blue highlight? That is scripture verse, okay? Where it's in yellow highlight, those are kind of main topics you have to go through. You get into some areas, and there's blue wording. The blue wording, all I have to do is do the blue highlights, the yellow highlights, and the blue wording, and we're all good, okay? The rest of it, it's filler. Leave the fillers out. Then if there's a gray spot, that's just an illustration, something where who knows where I'm going to go with that. So today, hopefully, we won't take that long. I told you last week, I'm going to try to get it down to like 20 minutes or so. And every week when I'm done, the first thing I do is I run to the back and go, Tim, how long was it? Any guesses for last week? 43 minutes. Yeah, exactly what I said. Okay, we're chopping in half. How do I chop something in half like that? So I'm working on it. But what I want to do is, Colin, can you do the first slide for us? Here we go. Okay, one more click. It should go. One more click. There you go. Okay, I simplified it. We're in our series. This is the second week in a series on 1 John. Those of you sitting at a table, you may see them. There are bookmarks. I told you I would try to do that. I didn't put dates next to them because who knows exactly what day we're going to do it. But if you want to know, and there's a little check mark, you can check them. Those of you who are not sitting at a table, if you like some, they're in the back, and we can get them to you. Or, you know, poke somebody on a table, and they'll get one to you. But it goes through. It's roughly 20, 21 weeks long, and it'll tell you every week as we're going through what week we're on, and if you check off the week that we are on right now, then you'll know kind of where we're at for next week. A summary of last week. Anybody know what the title of last week's sermon was? Any idea what it was about? It is 1 John 1, 1 through 4. I know, I told you, I always try to come up with catchy, everyone's frantic looking, I try to come up with these catchy titles so that you'll hang on to it, and I wanted, you know, double your pleasure, you know, the double mint gum thing, you know, slapping those together. Go ahead and do the next slide, Colin. These are kind of a review. Here's a question for you. Over here, can you actually read that? Okay. Can you not read it because it's too small of a font, or can you not read it because it's too fancy of a font? Okay, I will change that next week. I was sitting up here, you know, because I don't know. At home, it looks great. Okay, on my computer at home, I have a computer down here that I work on, and then when I want to project it, I look at a computer. I have a second monitor. It looks great. Let me tell you, it looks great. This doesn't look so great. And I was sitting here this morning as I was going through and going, I can barely read it sitting here, so there's no way you all can read it over there. So I apologize. I will change it. If you all tell me things like that, come up to me and say, hey, you know, the font is really hard to read or it's too small, I will change it. I am all for that, okay? Back to it. Summary. Here's kind of a summary of last week. Christ, our life, has eternally existed with the Father. The back door just swung wide open with the wind, so. Christ, our life, has eternally existed with the Father. Jesus Christ always has been, okay? He is not a creation. Remember there was the illustration of a river, and he is the spring from which it comes from. Christ, our life, was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ came to earth, okay? Third, through his incarnation, we can have fellowship with Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So because Jesus Christ has come, we can now have fellowship with God. The fourth one, we should make this fellowship, that make this understanding of that part of our fellowship. So because Jesus Christ has come to earth and we can have fellowship with him, we should also have fellowship with other believers. And the fifth part of that, and we should seek to draw others, we should seek to draw others into fellowship so that our joy may be complete and our joy may be doubled. If you remember that part of it, Lacey came up here and shared about when she was at Power Force, the Power Team guys. And so that was last week. And last week's title, you know, who knows what it was? Anybody? I don't even remember what it was. That's how bad it is. The Word of Life is where it was at. But this week, it's a really, really long one. Can you go with the next slide, Colin? Let's see. It should pop up there. Okay, 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Let us walk in the light of God. Not catchy or anything. So, you know, last night about 9 o'clock, I'm on the phone with Don saying, okay, I want to do this, I want to do this. I have no idea. But just so you remember it, it's walking on sunshine. That's all it is. And to help you remember it, Julie, are you ready? Julie's going to play a song for us, which will help you to remember it today. So open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, and we are going to read verses 5 through 10, which will take us to the end of this chapter. And here's what it says. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. 6 verses, 3 points. Colin, go ahead. Okay, I give in. You guys are never going to be able to read any of that. I will change it for next week. There are 3 points. It's 6 verses. The first point is the first verse, okay, verse 5. The second point is 6 and 7, so 2 verses. The third point is 3 verses, 8, 9, and 10. So you can follow along in that area. The first one is, this is the message. Last week, John was saying, as we were talking about, John was saying, we have heard a message from God. We've heard something from God. And in order for us to have fellowship with each other, I want to share that message with you. And the very first thing he says is, God is light. Everything on the rest of this book, everything gets built up off of God is light. So remember that. God is light. That's the message that he has heard. The second part of this will be verses 6 and 7. And he wants to give, if God is light, these are some practical things you can do with that light. Okay? Now, as it's told, and he says this stuff, he goes, some of you may misunderstand what I'm talking about. So in the third part, which is verses 8 through 10, he says, let me expand on that a little bit more, and let me clarify some things and try to give you a little bit better understanding. So there's verse 5, which is the message that he's heard. There's verses 6 and 7, which is, here, this is how you can apply that. And 8, 9, and 10, let me clarify some things, because some of you are not going to quite understand exactly what I've talked about. Okay, so let's dig into the first one, which is, Colin, next slide. The main points. Man, I'm sorry. I guess it bugs me more than it bugs all you. The foundation, God is light. Verse 5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What does John mean when he says God is light? Some of that you have to go to verse 6. And when he gets into verse 6, he says, what does he say? He goes on and he's talking. I'm looking. I'll go back to here. God is light and in his no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him while we... Nope. Yes. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the... You would expect him to say... The light. He's talking about light, so why does he go from light to truth? In this case, he's talking about the two of them kind of being synonymous with each other. When you're talking about light, you're talking about truth. God is truth. God is absolute truth. There is no truth that is completely true unless God is a part of it, because there is no darkness in God. A couple illustrations, a couple things on that. You read in the paper that there's a computer that's for sale, and it's a $500 computer, and it tells you, it says, you know, what the motherboard on it is and what the operating system is, and gives you some of this information, and it tells you it has a mouse, it tells you it has a keyboard. It may even come with some great games and stuff, and you think, I got to get this computer. So you go down to the store to buy this computer, and when you get there, what do you find out? What? It's sold out. No, not sold out. Anyone else? I mentioned a bunch of things it has. What did I leave out? A monitor. It doesn't have a monitor. You're buying a computer, and they talk about all this great stuff it has, and it's a great deal, but it doesn't come with a monitor. Did you know that without a monitor, a computer is really not a lot of good? You're left in the dark with that. You know, on eBay, several years ago, there was the PlayStation 2 came out, and this guy advertised on eBay that he was selling a brand new box. Okay? A brand new PlayStation 2 box. That's kind of how the advertisement read. And they were bidding for this. And it was right when it was hot and on the market. The thing eventually sold for $425. And it was shipped to the person who bought it. This person bought it, and you know what they got? A box. Okay? Not everything is spelled out exactly right. Have you ever been looking for a car, or you're just like looking through the paper, and you're in the newspaper, and you read, and it talks about, you know, this new car, and it's got a great deal on it, and then you read the fine print, it says two. They only have two at this price. So by the time you get down there, they've probably already sold them, and you're getting something else. A little bit of false advertising. That's not the way God is. God is light. God is truth. He is the absolute truth. If you don't look at truth, if you don't look at things the way that God sees them or in the light of God, truth can be distorted. In school, you get graded in school. You know, some of you back there in the corner, you're in school. How many of your teachers grade on a curve? Okay, do you know what grading on a curve is? The person who gets the highest score, you say it's a 50%, that becomes 100, and everything is done off of that. If you do not have an absolute truth, everything can get graded off of a curve. So absolute morality or absolute truth, if we don't base it off of who God is and what God is, then we can make it anything we want it to be. See, God is truth. When he's talking about God being light, he's saying God is absolute. God is the truth. In our school system, if we take God out of our school system, we're in trouble. And we can already see the results of that and see what's happening. We need to have God. We need to have that absolute authority, the person who establishes everything, and everything has to be graded off of that. Everything has to come from there. That's what he means by God is light. God is truth. In him, there is no darkness. Light is the promise of hope and joy. Darkness is the threat of despair and misery. Okay? So, God is light. What does that mean? How do we apply that? That's where the second one that you can't read in there is. It says application. Walk in the light. If God is the light, the way you apply that is by walking in light. Walking in the light that is there. To choose gravel over diamonds, you have to be blind. To choose gravel over diamonds, you have to be blind. Okay, go with me on a journey for a minute. You are in a dark cave, okay? And for some reason, you just wake up, and you put your hands out, and you can't see anything, it's dark. And on one side, you feel nice, soft, warm fur. On the other side, you feel sharp, cold, steel. Okay, which one do you gravitate toward? The fur, the nice, warm fur. I would. You wake up, okay, I'm going to... You go over to the fur, and you're all nestled with this nice, warm fur, okay? Then somebody walks in with a light, or you turn the light on. Okay, this cave has a light in it, so they flip the switch on, okay? They flip the switch on, okay? And when the switch comes on, and you're all nestled up to this nice, warm fur, you realize that this nice, warm fur is a monster, okay? Grizzly bear, if you want, or whatever it is, it's a monster that is getting ready to destroy you. And do you know what the sharp, cold steel is? That's the sword of Jesus Christ, who wants to slay that monster. The only reason that you would chew this nice, warm, furry monster is because in the dark, you can't tell what is right and what is wrong. This monster is he's just ready to munch down on you, to take you out. And Christ with his sword, the sword that you felt, the ice warm, the cold steel, that was Christ's sword. Okay? At that point, which would you choose? You would jump over to Christ's side and say, okay, you take care of him. Okay? See, in the darkness, we can be deceived. In the darkness, we don't necessarily make the best choices. Fellowship with God means that you see things the way he sees them, and you have the same desires that he has. Okay? The only reason that you would choose a monster, the only reason, ladies, that you would choose gravel over diamonds is if you stuck your hand in a bag and you felt them, it's okay, because you don't really know. In the light, you can see things. Positive and negative on these. If you go to verse 6, it's more of the negative side of it. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, I'm going on to 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Okay? In the application here, he's saying, this is what you don't do. Okay, this is the negative part of it. He's saying, this is the positive side of it. Verse 6 shows that not walking in the light destroys your fellowship with God. Verse 7 shows that if you walk in the light, you preserve that fellowship, or you can have that fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can have that fellowship with God. So in the application part of this, he is showing us this is what happens if you do not walk in the light. This is what happens if you do. Looking for where to go. John makes a connection here between the way we walk and the effectiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from sin. So you ask 3 questions. What is this walk? What does it mean to be cleansed from all sin by the blood of Jesus? And then, what is the connection between the two? Colin, go ahead and click the button again for a second. Oh, no, it didn't do it. Can you go back again? Somehow I thought they were supposed to grow. It doesn't do it. Let's go back. Never mind. What is the walk? What is the walk? We've already kind of answered that first question. Walking the light means living under the control and desires of God instead of under the control and desires of the world. That is the walk. What does it mean to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus? What does it mean to have the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all your sins? Does it mean that we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus keeps us from sinning? Or does it mean that as we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus covers and nullifies all of our sins? In other words, is it justification or is it sanctification? Does walking in the light mean justification or does it mean sanctification? How about it means both? If you walk in the light, if you are cleansed, then everything from your past, Jesus Christ has forgiven. But walking takes progress. Walking means moving forward. And that is where the sanctification, the ongoing process of learning about Jesus Christ and learning how to follow is there. In Sunday school, last week, we started talking about this a little bit, and we talked about a light. If you have a lantern, and you're holding the lantern and you're walking, and it's a dark night and you've got this lantern, how far can you see? A few steps in front of you? You know, you can get one of those real high-powered beam spotlights or flashlights and you can see basically the moon, you know. But just a little lantern gives you maybe 3 steps in front of you. But if I can only see as I get down the steps, once I walk to here, now I can see a little farther in front of me. Once I see that, then if I go there, see, as long as you are walking forward and making those steps, well, then you can keep going. Amazing Race. The youth and I, we talked about this a little bit. Amazing Race. They don't know where the end is. They just know how to get to the next pit stop or the next place. And the instructions say, okay, you do this. So if God is giving you instructions and says, I need you to go to this place, he's not going to give you the instructions to the next one until you get to that one. That's walking. That's a stepping out on faith and saying, I am going to go where you want me to go. Okay, whatever the chores are on the way, he'll give you the stuff to get you, not to the very end, but to get to the next rest stop or to get to the next place that you need to get to. That's what it is to be walking the light. It refers to the justifying effect of Christ's shed blood, blotting out all our sins and giving us acquittal and eternal acceptance with God. That is the justification. Really big words, right? Let me go back and say that again. It refers to the justifying effect of Christ's shed blood, blotting out our sins and giving us acquittal and eternal acceptance with God. That is the justification. Jesus Christ came, and once we accept him, he cleanses us. We are clean, okay? And it refers to the moral power of the blood of Jesus to help us conquer temptation so that in the end, all of our sin will actually be overcome and we will stand really pure and sinless before God. It's the ongoing process. As you go through this life, it doesn't say that you're not going to have temptation. It doesn't say that things aren't going to happen because they are. But it says, as you're on the process, as you're doing that, then his blood will continually cover you as you're making those steps, as you're walking forward, as you're moving. In other words, the reason Christ came was not merely to cover sin, but to conquer sin. He came not only to justify, but also sanctify. Not only to acquit, but also to reform. So it's a dual purpose. There are two reasons that Christ came. One was justification. The other was sanctification. If we know what it is to walk in the light, and we know what it means to be cleansed from sin, how do you put the two of them together? How do you make the connection between the two of those? Scripture tells us, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from that flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. It also says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? John does not always spell out exactly how you're going to do that because it is a process that each one of us has to go through on our own. It's where we get there. Christ's blood cleanses us, justifies us, and the ongoing process of getting there sanctifies us and allows us to grow and to continue to be there. Some people think the only way to make the gospel really good news is to deny that changes are necessary in our lives. They say that it takes away the assurance of salvation. They say the way we live after putting our faith in Christ has nothing to do with our salvation. Some people think that if you accept Jesus Christ, that's all there is to it. Your sins are forgiven. You can live however you want. Okay? Once saved, always saved? That would be where some people are going with that. But if that was the case, then the good news has no power. What would the difference be? A gospel that only wins lip service is not different than any other philosophies in the world. Such a gospel produces a Christianity that is a game of words. It encourages lukewarm churchgoers that they are safe from God's wrath because of some inherited mental assent to the love of God. It's more than just accepting Jesus Christ and him forgiving you, and then you can do what you want. It has to be a process. You have to keep walking. That's what John is trying to say. That's where he goes with that. As usual, the truth of this that he was talking about is a razor's edge between two errors, okay? The razor's edge, you have two errors, one on each side. Here is one of them. The error that says your conduct after conversion has nothing to do with your salvation. Your conduct after conversion has nothing to do with your salvation. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ. You can live the way you want. The other side of it that says your conduct after conversion must be perfect. You see both sides of it? One, you can live however you want. The other one is you have to be perfect. The razor's edge is in the middle, and that's the truth of Jesus Christ. That is where the sanctification, that is where the walking, the moving forward goes in. There were some people back in John's days, there's kind of a perfectionism or perfectionist theology or viewpoint of things. And I didn't really know what all that meant. You know, and I was going, perfectionist and trying to do some of that, and I looked it up. I may be close to that. Some of it says you're not willing to do things because if you cannot do it right, you're not going to do it. You know how much tile work I've done at my house? I've only tiled one thing, and that was our bathroom because I had to. The rest of it, I may find a tile I like later on that's better. I may be able to do it a little bit better later on, so I've not tiled a single thing. How many of you don't do something because if you cannot do it 100% right so that you're 100% happy with it, you're just not going to do it? Sometimes we call it procrastination, okay? But it is kind of a perfectionist theology, a perfectionist idea. And that's what he's saying. If we're trying to live our lives as a Christian and saying we have to be perfect, Jesus Christ was perfect, and because of that we have to be perfect, we might as well not even live our Christian life. I'm going to step down and get some water for a second. Sorry. I got bottles stashed over there. See, it is tough. Where do you live your life? If being a Christian means that you have to be perfect, we're never going to be there. If being a Christian says that you accept Jesus Christ, you can live your life however you want. See, both sides of it. Where are you at? The truth of it all in Jesus Christ and what John was trying to say is right down the middle. Back to the people. John had some people back then. He knew exactly where they were going with this. Oh, okay, so all I have to do is accept Jesus Christ and that's good. John says, we're moving on now into 8, 9, 10. John says, no, that's not actually the case. You're misunderstanding a little bit of what I'm saying. You've missed it. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Okay? The claim to be without sin, see, in the first part of this, John, I'm going to jump back a little bit. In the first part of this, John was talking about light. What does light have to do with our life? When he gets into this part, he starts talking about sin. And there is a parallel. If you take verses 6 and 7, and you take verses 8 and 9, and you run them down with each other, they run parallel to each other. And Colin has it up there. Can you read that? Julie's in the back going, oh, I can't read that. Okay. If you squint, you can. Okay. It is a parallel that draws from 6 and 7. The very first line on this side says, if we say that, and the very first one on that side, which would be verse 8, says, if we say that. Verse 6 put it this way, we have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness. See, that doesn't even sound so bad. If we say we have fellowship, but we walk in the darkness. Okay. Verse 8 says, we do not have sin. So, you know, walking in darkness is a little bit better than saying we don't have sin and stuff. It goes on and says, we lie. Okay. The other one says, we deceive ourselves. And we do not do the truth. The truth is not in us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, verse 9 actually goes in and says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there is a parallel. John says, look, this is what I had said to you. And some of you are going to misunderstand that. I know because of the wording that I used, you're going to think that because you know you're never going to be perfect, it's not worth doing it. You say, no, that's not what I'm saying. You're missing the point there. This battle of walking with Christ lasts a lifetime. It's not just Christ has paid it and I've accepted him and that's it, it's over. No, there is a walk. You're going to have to go through the walk. You're going to have to go through this for a lifetime. The mark of the saint is not sinlessness. The mark of the saint is not sinlessness, but sin consciousness. It's not saying you don't have sin in your life. It's saying I know what sin is and I know that sin is there. And in so doing, you're able to ask for forgiveness for that sin. That is the mark of a saint. Therefore, one of the great signs of maturity in Christ is a deep and abiding brokenness to sin. It's not saying, I don't have sin. It's confessing that you do have sin. And knowing that because you have sin, and sin is in your life, and as you're walking through your life, the temptation is going to come after you, and things are going to come after you, and knowing that as long as you're walking in that light and following that light, that that light will help you to overcome those sin. It's an amazing thing about light, and when it uses light, it does not take, if you're in a very dark room, it does not take much light to fill the room. Just the strike of a match, and you can fill the whole room. I think that's why he goes and uses light. Light has such a positive connotation to it, has such a positive thing to it. A little bit of light goes a long, long way. He could have used other things. He could have talked about other stuff, but he used light. And when he goes into this and he's talking about light, it's very uplifting, very positive. When Pastor Frank was praying, he said, the light is shining, the sun is shining. It's amazing what a little bit of light will do for us. And it only takes a little bit of light to get it started and to get moving. A moth. Or on Guam, you could say termites if you want, okay? They are drawn to the light, okay? Why are they drawn to the light? What? It catches their attention. You know, when you walk into a place, this whole place can be illuminated. But a lot of times, your eye is attracted right to those lights up there. Okay? Anyone who stands up on stage going, oh yeah, I know what you mean. Why are we so attracted to the light? It catches our attention. Same thing. If you're in a dark place, and it's not real well lit, the very first thing you do is you see that light. Your eye picks up on the light, and you're almost drawn to the light. That's the way the moths are. The light, it's a good thing. It's a positive thing. That's why he used light in all this. That's why John is saying, talking about light and comparing Christ to light, because he wants us to be attracted to this light. He wants us to move toward the light. Denying our sin is part of what it means to walk in darkness. And he talks about that in verse 8 and 9. Walking in darkness. That's denying our sin. Saying we don't have sin. Confessing our sin is part of what it means to walk in the light. That is that brokenness. It's not sinlessness. It's sin consciousness. It's knowing that we've sinned, knowing that things are wrong, and in so doing, being broken enough to go to God and saying, I'm sorry. Some people say that as Christians, we should never really pray for forgiveness because forgiveness has already been given. Jesus Christ has already paid it, so why should you ask for forgiveness? Part of that is because we're instructed to, and part of it is because we need to. If Jesus Christ has paid for it, it's a gift that is given to us, but unless we accept it, unless we receive it, the gift is not there. We should be broken enough to go and say, Father, I am sorry. Forgive me. Sorry that I did this. And that is part of walking the light. That is part of moving forward. Verse 10. Strong, strong words. He says in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The claim to sinlessness is self-deception. If you're claiming, say, I don't have any sin, you're really just deceiving yourself and lying to yourself, because the Bible tells us that we have all sinned. But not only is it deceiving yourself, but you're calling God a liar. It's blasphemy. This means that when God has looked down and he's made an assessment of your life, he's made a wrong assessment. He's made the wrong diagnosis. You had sinned. The penalty for that sin was you needed to die. That's what Jesus Christ said. If you say that you have not sinned, then you're saying that he has misdiagnosed you. John uses very, very strong words. In today's society, if we were to use words like that, people would call us narrow-minded. They would call us all kinds of things. But he gets away with it. And I think he gets away with it because of who he was. And he set that foundation last week when he said, I was there, I saw him, I touched him. So when he says to them, if you say you don't have sin, you're calling God a liar, he can get away with it. Today, we don't get away with it quite as easily. And because of that, we don't say anything. And because of that, our society is suffering. America is suffering. We need to be willing to stand up and take a bold step for Christ. So what does all this mean? What does it all come down to? Colin, next slide. Okay, next one. Is that the end of it? Okay, here we go. Summary. Okay, here it is. We'll wrap everything up into this part of it. Here's the summary. Verse 5 is the foundation. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. His truth is bright and hopeful for all who will come to him. That's verse 5, foundation. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verses 6 and 7, second point, second part of the summary, two verses. It's the application. Therefore, let us walk in the light of God so that we can enjoy his fellowship and experience the cleansing of Christ's blood. Apply it to your life. Apply this to your life. Experience what God has for you. Two verses. Okay, now the third part of the summary is the clarification. Make sure, if you didn't understand that, let's look at it this way. Three verses long. Nevertheless, do not presume to claim sinlessness as you walk in light, but confess your sins. Okay? Confess your sins to God. He's laying foundation. God is light. Everything else in the rest of this book will be based off of that. There is foundation, there is application, and there is clarification. So as you're looking at your life, as you're going through this, are you walking in the light? Are you following the light of Jesus Christ? Are you actually making progress where God wants you to be going? That's what John is talking about here. That's what he's wanting these people to do. That's what he's saying is everything else is going to build off of this. God is light. Okay? Walking in the sunshine. We should all be walking in the sunshine. And he gives the application on how to do that. It is by confessing our sins, accepting Jesus Christ and accepting our sins, justification and sanctification, and moving forward. Where are you at right now? Are you walking the light? Or is there something that is blocking the light? You're not seeing it. Or is there something that is making it dim, making it hard to see? Confess those. Get those out of the way and start walking where Jesus Christ wants you to go to the next step.